My name is Viv and I'm a service user expert from Pathway. And I'm looking forward to the conference to see what these people got to say, how they can help the homeless. These are the first two people I would like to interview. Could you please introduce yourself to me?
Hello, I'm John Connolly, and I lead a small counselling service for homeless people at the Central London Community Healthcare NHS Trust.
I'm Paul Ashton, and ex-service user, ex-homeless. We're co-working with John.
Thank you very much. As you said, you lead a small group for homeless people in Westminster.
Yes.
And from what I can gather, it's an anger management group with a difference. Can you tell me a little bit about it, please?
I think the main difference is Paul's input, that Paul gave me much more insight and much more understanding as to the difficulties people who have been homeless for many years experience. And I felt an obligation to adapt what my service could offer to meet those very special needs.
Paul,
yes.
How do you find it?
I actually get just as much out of the group, even though I'm sort of like co-facilitating with John. I actually look forward to Mondays. Monday is a great day for me. I love going to the anger group because, like I say, I get so much from it. I mean, I might be down when I'm going there, but by the time I'm leaving, I feel like I'm walking on air again, sort of thing. And it's really, really nice. I really look forward to the group.
John, how do you find the people that come to the group?
To begin with, I was quite scared. Because a lot of them have been banned from most services for violence. So I think Paul and I really felt, would this be all right?
Yeah.
You know, would we have to deal with very difficult situations? And lo and behold, the group's been running for 2 years now, and there has been no single incident.
Wow.
We have never had to escort anybody off the premises. There's been never any incident. And we think it's because of the special feel there is to the group. It's non-judgmental, it's accepting, and it's supportive.
And do you think also that's because people can come whenever they come and go as they want, and it's the arrangement is kind of quite loose for people on the street, and you've cut out a lot of the red tape as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I think that's basically, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It's kind of like, for them, I guess, it feels a bit like, even though we're in a building and it's in slightly the official sort of capacity in that sense, but I think for them, it feels like it's just a group of guys, homeless guys, and girls, actually, we do have girls sometimes, coming along, sitting down, and chatting about stuff that's going on for them. So it doesn't feel like it's a proper group in that sense, sort of thing. It's just a bunch of guys getting together and talking about anger.
It doesn't sound very conventional, which is a good thing for me. What sort of problems do you think people on the street face that have got anger management problems?
Ooh, that's a big question, is it? Ask Paul first.
Again, I guess it's complex, and because that's why they've got complex needs. Alcohol issues, drug issues. I mean, one of the other things will be actually being homeless will impact on those issues as well. So I think I heard something today in the conference that was mentioning about people being housed first rather than sorting out other problems. And I think actually that's probably the best way to go, is get the person housed first and then address the needs.
Yeah.
I think the biggest challenge for a homeless person is to have their voice heard and taken at face value. And I think everybody prejudges people by their appearance, by their circumstances. And that's the obstacle.
Yeah. I also think a group like you've got, it's important for the homeless because it sounds like they've got somebody that's actually listening to them. And I also think that because you've got, you're a talking group, it must do a lot of good for people.
I think so. I think that's why people flourish, as anybody does, when they listened and they heard at face value and they're not judged.
Thank you very much for talking to me, and good luck with your group, and
I hope
it carries on for a long time.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. We're halfway through the conference. Overall, I think it's quite good. It's definitely different than last year. I've also met some people here that I haven't seen for a while. And I've also met some people that I met here at the conference I went to last year that I've been having interesting conversations with. So far, it's a very good conference, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's happening tomorrow. This is the second day of the conference, and I'm now talking to Peter Cockesell.
That's right.
Yeah, and he's from St Mungo's.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to ask him a few quick questions before we go back.
Hello.
Right. Hello. What I was going to ask you is, do you encourage people to try and move into flats?
Yes, I suppose we do. We encourage people to move on as far as suits them and as far as they want to go. We are encouraged to move people through our projects, and actually we believe that people should be in hostels for as little time as possible, really. I'd like to see more choice for clients, because clients at the moment don't get the choice of when they move on and when they're ready to move on. It's done according to pathways and all this sort of stuff. And it would be great if people actually could have the choice to stay a little bit longer, because I think some people need that, and or a little bit less, because some people don't need that amount of time. But yes, the idea is that people move through St Mungo's. We're just a stepping stone.
So you can point them in the right direction for housing?
Where housing is available, yes. Right. And unfortunately, mainly the private rented sector now. But yes.
A lot of homeless people feel unsafe in hostels. How can they be made safer for the homeless people? And also, do you have any dry hostels at all?
We do.
Or are they all wet?
We do have some dry houses rather than hostels, yes. Right. So we've got some dry houses, but they're, because of the way we're funded, they're in particular areas, so they're not generally useful for everybody.
Right.
We are looking at how we can do it so that anybody who wants a dry place can move into them, but we've got to find out a funding mechanism for that.
I
sympathise. Hostels and often feel quite dangerous. We try our hardest to make sure that they're not that dangerous, and through our staff and through client involvement, which I think is really important, and by getting the people in a hostel to, as it were, sort of take more ownership in running the hostel, which is something we're doing, and we can go further by having clients do the induction of other clients and so on. We hope we can make it as safe an environment as possible, but you do get incidents in a big hostel, and that's just partly the nature of hostels. Sometimes it's the nature of the buildings as well. There are some buildings where we have more incidents than other buildings, and we can't always do anything about that. Ideally, people would move into smaller units, and that's the aim, is to produce smaller units, really.
You also go and do the handouts on the street, don't you? Some of St Mungo's.
What sort of handouts?
Well, I'm talking about giving out food to the homeless.
We don't. That's amazing that that is how St Mungo's began. We started off dishing out food to the homeless in Covent Garden War in 1970, something like that. And we don't do it anymore. We do have outreach teams. We have street outreach, and we have a nursing-led outreach team, but we don't actually do any of the soup runs or food. And not sure how necessary they are, and certainly in London and Bristol and places where we work, there's day centres, there's hostels, there's and I'm not sure quite how necessary all the soup runs are.
Well, I think they do work, because a lot of people do need them, and there's some people that wouldn't even go to a day centre as well. There's also people that won't actually use the services. I do know people that are not too keen on going to the handouts as well.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And they go around looking for food in bins and stuff like that, which is not very safe.
I think it's a general principle that having as many different ways as possible to engage with people, so people can find their own way out of homelessness, is right, actually.
Yeah. Do you have trained staff for people with mental problems? In your hostels?
Yes, we run. We have a range of trained staff. So we've got lots of hostels which are for people who've got diagnosed mental health problems, and we've got hostels where there are people who've got all sorts of mental health problems which are diagnosed or not diagnosed, and we give all our staff some training, and some have more training than others. We also run a psychotherapy service, which is staffed by fully qualified clinicians, most of them with years of experience, and we provide up to 100 hours a week of psychotherapy for clients who want psychotherapy and can't get it on the NHS. So we have a range of professions, and of course we have peer support, and we have a lot of activities, and our client involvement organisation Outside In has got a particular group for people who've had an experience of mental health problems or who've got current mental health problems, which is a support group and an activities, and it does lots of the general work and volunteering and stuff with Outside In. So we've got a range of things that we do.
Good. Thank you so much for talking to us, giving us this little interview.
It's a pleasure.
And have a good rest of the conference as well.
Thank you very much.
Well, the conference is over for me, and I've quite enjoyed coming here and listening to what people got to say. It's been very interesting and educating, and I really enjoyed it. I think it was worth coming, and if we got one next year, I'll definitely want to come for that one as well.